Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to a brand new DNF1 F1 podcast. I hope that you're all doing well and thank you as always for being here. It's great to have you along for a bit of F1 chat and discussion, and welcome back. This is episode 10, the final episode of the F1 2024 car launch mini-series, and in this episode we are going to be talking about the reigning and defending world champions. Red Bull have unveiled the RB20, the car that they hope will bring them even more success, if you can imagine that being possible, than what they achieved in 2023. Now, of course, we're talking about the team here in the ground effect era that have won 38 of the last 44 races. So, of course, everybody is going to be eagerly anticipating and, of course, interested on what Red Bull has been cooking over the last 12 months and what they're going to unleash on the competition in 2024. Of course, looking at the car itself in terms of delivery, no surprises, it looks like a Red Bull. Probably the team that is the most consistent with its liveries on the grid in recent memory, even more consistent than Ferrari, who always come out with a very good looking car. A lot of people talk about the Red Bull, and some people love the livery, some not so much, some are a bit bored of it. I kind of lean into the camp where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I think that's what you get from Red Bull. They have an identity, they have a brand. Obviously, it's a global, huge brand. And, you know, you don't want to converge away from that. That's what they identify as. That's their look. That's their niche, if you like. So for me, it looks good. You know, I don't have any complaints about it. I know some people would like Red Bull to switch things up a little bit and make it a little bit more interesting. But you know what? Stick to what you know. Red Bull seemed to be pretty happy with that. And I think more of us, if they converged away from that, would probably be disappointed than people would be happy, because, you know, it's all fine having that change like we saw in Turkey a few years ago when they had the white version of that livery and it looked great. But if they drove around with that every race, we'd get sick of it quite quickly, I reckon. So yeah, the livery on the car looks fine, but I'll be honest with you guys, I think that is probably the most insignificant part of this particular review, because in the past, we've often been used to Red Bull bringing out old versions of their cars or cars from previous seasons with an updated livery, and we don't get to see the real thing until pre-season testing. Well, this year's a bit different. There was a lot of anticipation on the Red Bull, a lot of rumours going around that this was going to be very different from the concept that they had had so much success with throughout this ground effect era. And boy, what they have produced in terms of the launch spec is jaw-dropping. It really was. I think the first time a lot of people saw it, hoping that they didn't have much further to go in terms of development, would have left absolutely shell-shocked at what they had seen. It looked incredible. And I've looked at some of the pictures and the renders. I've looked at some of the shots from the car launch. I've made some notes. So hopefully I've been able to capture a decent amount of what looks to have changed compared to last year's car. And for a team that probably didn't need to change too much on their car to be successful, well, they've certainly changed a lot. So looking at the renders as well, which I think is quite significant, and I think I will draw this in my conclusion of this review. It is quite different to what we see on the actual car during the launch spec. So what we see in testing and in the first race could be even more further down the line in terms of development on this concept that they've embarked on, which is a very worrying thought to have if you are a rival team, hoping you might have produced something that would have brought you much closer to Red Bull than you had been before. Starting with the front wing, of course, the front wing and the end plates look quite similar to the RB19. I noticed the slot gap has kind of gone away here. Now, because that's a bolt-on component and the rest of the car behind it tends to be influenced by what happens at the front, I'd be very surprised if this was the front wing that we saw in testing, and I'd be very surprised if it was the front wing that we saw in the first few races or even beyond that. Obviously, the front wing is the first thing that hits the airflow when it comes onto the car. It influences the aerodynamic efficiency of the rest of the car behind it. So to see almost a 2023 spec front wing of the Red Bull on this car, I don't believe for a second that this is the front wing we're going to see. So I'm not going to talk too much about that because I'm expecting changes for testing and in Bahrain. So as I said, there was no entry duct on the wing as well. And this is an area that Adrian Newey has really championed in terms of getting the airflow through to the front of the car and through the floor and everything else on top of that. The fact that we don't see it suggests to me that this is not the front wing that we're going to get. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I mean, they did have some trouble with the crash tests as well with the cars. That was what was reported over the winter. So looking at that front wing and the nose that went with it, I don't really see how that one could have been a problem for those crash tests. So I'm expecting something completely different for pre-season testing. Looking at the front suspension of the car, the inlet looks quite similar to 2023. I think the only thing I could notice, the lower wishbone on the rear leg, that was a little bit higher, I think, than what we've seen on the 2023 pictures. Again, I might have just missed this slightly, or it might be exactly the same, but it looked like it was a fraction higher. That's going to slightly increase the anti-dive a little bit because of the, you know, increased angle is going to bring it down a little bit. Then, of course, we get to the really, really big change. And I think this is the part that some people would joke and jest, thinking surely they wouldn't do that, or it would be hilarious if Red Bull actually went down this route. But looking at the car and looking at the renders, and I want to say this very, very carefully, because if you're a Mercedes fan, this may frustrate you a little bit, but it looks like Red Bull are going down the hide pod concept, the fabled no side pods that Mercedes brought in the 2022 season and tried to optimize it in 2023, and then, of course, abandoned it for what we've seen on the W15. It very much looks like Red Bull have gone down that route as well, which is an incredible turnaround, given that this is a team that very much pioneered the side pods that we are seeing on almost every single car that we've seen in the launch series so far for 2023. And now Red Bull look like they've completely changed the game in this one as well. From what I could see on the pictures, it was quite hard to tell because the side-on images we saw at the launch and on the renders that have cleverly tried to cover this up so we can't really see it looking face on to the car. But from what we could see at the launch from the side, it looked like a vertical slot at the side impact structure of the side pod and the chassis. And I can't tell if there was one or two inlets for this. I'm going to go with one just, you know, for the benefit of, you know, not trying to be too complicated here, because I'm still trying to get my head around this. I'm geeking out over this, if you can tell. But what I'm saying, it's absolutely incredible. But looking at the pictures, it does seem to be a vertical radiator inlet with two splits from the side shot. But as I said, hidden on the render, they didn't reveal too much there. So I'm sure we'll see it in all its full physical form in testing. And I'm very much looking forward to seeing what that car's going to look like under the lights and everything else. But it's quite a narrow duct against the side of the chassis, what they call the side impact protection structure as well. It's very exciting stuff, absolutely crazy. I can't believe that Red Bull have gone down this route. Clearly, if Adrian Newey has decided to embark on this particular concept that Mercedes tried and weren't very successful at achieving, hence why they abandoned it, then that does suggest perhaps that there was some merit in this, and maybe even more so, Red Bull have been able to figure out how to do it where Mercedes haven't. Now, in terms of giving Mercedes the benefit of the doubt here, there is probably a bit of a difference between the two. So I'm going to try to explain this with a bit of research I've done on what was happening with the Mercedes and what Red Bull seemed to be doing here. But with the Mercedes, you know, when they tried to do this no side pod concept or high pod concept, whatever you want to call it, their version had what they would call a complete side pod front corner inboard. So it wasn't really an undercut that was directing the airflow and containing it through the front floor corner, and obviously, you know, through the undercut there. What it was doing, it was going around the side pod and going above it over the top of the side pod as well, and tried to get towards the back of the car that way. It wasn't really working. What Red Bull seemed to be doing is opening up that undercut space much, much higher than it was last year. And you can see with the top area, which almost looks a bit like a wing, you see the undercuts on the side pods we've seen from the competition. And I think Mercedes have tried this a little bit. McLaren are definitely doing this. And Red Bull have really gone for this one as well in an extreme manner. But they've got that overcut inlet where the side pod inlet is, and it's directing all the airflow down to the floor. It's much higher. It's a huge undercut. It's almost like an overcut in a way. And I mean, it looks absolutely incredible. As I said, I can't wait to see this in the flesh and see what it's going to look like when, you know, not in the pictures or the renders or in a launch version. It just looks absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, if they've made it work, you've got to take your hat off to them, because it's absolutely incredible. And as I said, if you're a Mercedes fan, it's certainly going to suck if you're seeing that. And it's definitely going to hurt, because if Red Bull have made this work, then obviously they're going to enjoy that so much more by being able to get one over on Mercedes, by taking something that they tried to do after abandoning it, and then Red Bull making it work themselves after being so successful going down the other way. It's toying with them at this point. But again, we'll have to wait and see how that goes. I don't want to raise the white flag just yet, but yeah, that was definitely amazing to see. Looking further back at the car, another area that I think some people had pointed out when it was doing its shakedown a couple of days ago at Silverstone, it had these huge sort of shoulder cannons that we've seen on the W14. They kind of look like the shoulder cannons or the louvres or the gullies, whatever you want to call them. Now, I was a little bit flabbergasted as to what this was doing. I'm not sure if Mercedes tried to do this for the same reason, but from what I've been hearing, it's to do with a very sophisticated cooling system with the hydraulics that Red Bull are trying to incorporate into their car, which I imagine is complementing the hide pods that they've got, the narrow vertical slots where the side pod should be. What they're doing, those gullies, if you like, at the top of the car, that's part of a new sophisticated cooling system. And I don't know too much about this. All I can say is that normally with F1 cars, to get the cooling that you need to get, the airflow, it normally goes in the front of the bodywork and out of the rear. And between those two areas, there's also the radiator package that has to cool all the components inside that are under the bodywork, like the power unit, water and oil, the plenum, the ERS control unit, the battery pack, the gearbox oil, the hydraulic fluid, all of those things. And, you know, it doesn't really matter if it's done from the individual, you know, air that the car receives either front or through the hydraulics. But it looks like what Red Bull are trying to do here, as I said, exemplified by these huge gullies at the top of the car, that seems to be a part of it. And there are some exit ducts that you can see sort of at the bottom that feed into the rear, kind of on top of the sort of the inner part of where the Coke bottle area should be. And I think that might be more targeted towards the MGUH. But honestly, guys, it looks incredible. And as I said, this is a long way. Sorry, I'm making silly noises here. It's how crazy and geeked out I am by all of this. But it really does look like something out of a rocket ship, and there's not much that I know about this that's really worth sharing. But if this really works, and this allows them to make the car so much more aerodynamically efficient in the way that Mercedes were trying to achieve with this concept that they obviously weren't able to be successful with, then I mean, that just raises the bar to a completely different level. Adrian Newey seems to have cooked up some absolute masterpiece. Of course, we won't see how good it is until it takes to the track, but so far the launch spec of this car looks like it could obliterate the competition, let alone the version that's going to come out in testing and in the first few races. So we'll have to wait and see. I noticed as well the outer floor edges were redacted or hidden on the renders and also parts of the launch as well. So I'm guessing Red Bull don't want us to see those at this point in time. The rear suspension looks quite similar. I don't really think there's much that's been changed there. They're the ones that have initiated the push rod at the front, pull rod at the rear concept. So, you know, they're quite happy to continue with that. And the rear wing end plates, they look very detached from the rear wing flaps as well, which is something that McLaren spent a lot of time last season, really trying to optimize. Mercedes, Ferrari have done this as well to degrees on their 2024 cars. Red Bull look like they've gone a step even further. It's almost as if they say, well, we've seen what you guys have tried to do. We're just going to raise the bar even higher and go further with it. So overall, this launch spec car, I think, is going to really rub a lot of people up in so many different ways that is going to completely surprise them. As I said, I'm expecting a lot of technical chiefs at other teams to have their jaws drop on the floor to a point where it really is going to cause people to scratch their heads. I think they're going to look at this car and think, what on earth do we do now? We've spent all this time trying to learn what the Red Bull did so well and how it achieved its performance, and we've kind of built our cars to kind of match up to that with the RB19 in mind, and Red Bull have just completely gone and changed the game with the RB20 and gone a completely different concept route. Is this going to be a more successful one than the RB19? I mean, it's not a guarantee, but given how successful Red Bull have been over the last couple of years and how innovative they've been, I see absolutely no reason why this would not be a success. So it's a very ominous sign already for the competition, and we haven't even seen the car run in testing yet. I mean, we saw a few videos of it running around at Silverstone doing a shakedown, and it sounded like a rocket ship. It was a really strange high-pitched noise. I'm not sure if the cooling system is causing that, but it just sounded incredible. It looked incredible. It looks an absolute beast. It's frightening how mighty this car looks. And I just hope that it's not as mighty as it looks. I really do, because I think the competition, I would like to see it converge to a much more tight pack. And I don't expect the Golf to be completely closed off to Red Bull, even if, you know, it wasn't as impressive as it looks. But I would have liked for the competition to be a bit closer. It still might be. As I said, maybe I'm underselling this and I'm underestimating the competition here. Red Bull certainly aren't underestimating the competition here, and they are really developing this car in a big way. You know, there was a lot of talk last season about Red Bull ending their development quite early for the 2023 car because of the advantages that they were enjoying, and they look like they've spent that time very wisely on the 2024 car. As I said, I am very, very concerned about what version of this we're going to see in testing and in the races, because it's going to be much further down the line in terms of development on this concept than what we're currently seeing today. We won't have long to wait to see that, because testing is only going to be, probably next week, actually. So, yeah, we're not going to have to wait long to see that. In terms of Adrian Newey's thoughts, he basically said that the car, obviously, it's an evolution on the RB19. A lot of what they've wanted to try and do has gone onto this car. And overall, he said that the car has behaved in the shakedown as they expected it to, but that's no guarantee of anything. It could be that some other team has done a bigger jump than us. I mean, yeah, right. Okay. Good one, Adrian. Christian Horner, the team principal and CEO there. Now, I'm not going to comment on what's been going on outside of the car stuff when it comes to Christian Horner. I think a lot of us have followed that story on social media. And I just recorded an episode with Lee where we did a bit of a news roundup where we kind of talked about that in a bit more detail. So that's going to be out on Monday. So definitely check that out, as we talked about that in a bit more detail as well. But in terms of the car, Christian was asked like what his goals for the team were for this year. And he said, if the car is as good as the RB19, you know, to set a target of winning all the races will be very difficult. And they achieved 22 of the 23 races last year. Singapore basically got away from them. But it shows that they can improve. But logically, there is going to be some convergence with stable regulations. We can see other cars of that influence from the RB19. They are expecting other teams to converge. He then went on to say that he thinks the team have done a wonderful job in the RB20. They haven't sat on their laurels, and you can see that they have pushed the boundaries with the car. So we will only see when we get to the track what the relative pecking order is for the start of the season. So very encouraging words from everyone involved at Red Bull. And there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't be encouraged by what they've produced and what we're seeing at the moment, because it looks incredible. It really does. I mean, I if I could swear on this podcast, I would, to describe it, because it looks unreal. In terms of the drivers, before we round this off, Max Verstappen, there's not really much more to say for what he needs to focus on in 2024. For him, the target is very, very simple. Match, if not improve, if possible, on 2023. Win as many races as you can. Win the world championship. if he drives the way that he has been driving the last couple of years and the car is as mighty as it has been the last couple of years, then I don't think many people, if anybody, are going to bet against Max Verstappen becoming a four-time Formula One world champion. So his one's quite easy in terms of assessing what he needs to do for 2024. Just do what you did last year and the year before that. As for Sergio Perez, this is a big year for him because take everything away car-wise, he is effectively driving the best car in the field. Even though we haven't seen preseason testing yet and we haven't seen the cars, how they stack up compared to each other, unless something crazy happens, I would be very... I think it's obvious that Red Bull do have the best car in the field, even though we haven't seen anyone do any running yet. So Perez effectively does have the fastest car at the moment. He needs to be much better this season. He came runner-up last season, which technically is an improvement on what he did in 2022. Although I would argue he was more competitive in 2022 than he was in 2023. And his performances have kind of stagnated. They have kind of declined relative to the competition. And whilst Red Bull may not necessarily need him to be a rear gunner for Max Verstappen because of the advantages that they had last season and I expect them to have this season, they will need him to be much more reliable and much more further at the front. Because Red Bull are going to be thinking about the next steps now. Clearly, Red Bull seem to think that because of what's happened with Lando Norris extending his McLaren contract and Oscar Piastri seems quite happy to be at McLaren for the medium to long term at this point in time, I personally feel that Red Bull are very much considering Alex Albon as plan A for 2026. Now, because of that, that means there is potentially an opportunity for Sergio Perez to at least be with the team into 2025. And I have no reason to suggest that Perez would not want to be in that car. But of course, there is the concern that Daniel Ricciardo could end up being in that car in 2025. And looking at how impressive it is, I imagine Daniel Ricciardo will be doing everything possible, crossing every finger he has, writing every letter to Father Christmas, praying to whatever God he believes in, that he will get another opportunity in that Red Bull, especially given how dominant they are at this point in time. So for Sergio, he needs to be closer to Max in qualifying, or at the very least, if Max is on pole position, more often than not, he needs to be on that front row with him. If Max is winning the races, Sergio has to be at least on the podium, if not alongside him in P2. And if Max, for whatever reason, isn't able to take the win, Sergio needs to be in that position to win that Grand Prix instead. They are very high standards, but given how good Checo is, and we all know Checo is a very, very good Formula One driver, he's not become a bad driver overnight, we know he can do that in the car that he has got. And I'm sure Red Bull would have been mindful of that when they were creating the RB20 and designing it. I'm sure teams don't necessarily always try to favour one driver over the other, but with their design philosophy, they're always going to try and back their best horse, which of course is Max Verstappen. Nobody's arguing that. But I'm sure they probably had a mind in trying to make this more drivable for Checo, or at the very least, try and help Checo get the absolute most out of this car. He's been with them for a few years now, and you know, he's been driving these ground effect Red Bull cars for a while. There's no reason why he can't do that. But if he can't, then of course there'll be plenty of suitors lining up, asking Christian and Adrian and everybody else to get in that car instead of Checo. So we'll have to wait and see. But overall conclusion, this was the final car that we saw of the F1 2024 car launch series. And it certainly didn't disappoint. I was expecting this episode to be a short one because I thought Red Bull were going to unveil an RB19 with an updated livery, but what they showed looked absolutely incredible. What we're going to eventually see in pre-season testing and in the first few races is going to be even further down the line from that. I don't know about you guys, I want a tighter competition this year, but after looking at the Red Bull and looking at everybody else, I would be very skeptical into thinking that we're going to get that. But of course, I will be hoping that I am wrong, and I'm sure a lot of you listening will be hoping that I am wrong as well in that regard, and we have a tightly fought championship. But I think that's all we've got time for. That was the final episode of the F1 2024 car launch series. I hope I did it justice, and I hope that you've enjoyed listening to me talk about these new cars. have a go at trying to be technical to a certain degree. As I said already, I am not a technical expert. I am not an aerodynamicist. A lot of the stuff that I'm relaying back to you are based on notes that I have taken, based on information I've researched from some of the experts in the field, some of the voices and some of the opinions that I've been hearing on this from people that actually know what they're talking about, and also my own research, trying to understand how these aerodynamics work and how all these different pieces all kind of fit together to make it all turn into a very, very good Formula One car. So I hope that went down okay with you guys, and I hope that you've enjoyed, more than anything else, just going on this little bit of a journey with me to go through some of the F1 cars, if not all of them actually, and just enjoy talking about them with you. I've had a lot of fun doing this solo podcast. It's been quite long-winded and a bit tiring, I'm not going to lie. I've done about 11 or 12 podcast recordings in the last couple of weeks. I am absolutely shattered about it, but I am so excited to see F1 back. The winter break's been crazy. So much news has been going on. All of the car launches, driver transfers, Hamilton going to Ferrari. I still can't get my head over that. That's absolutely incredible story there. And we're not far away now. Pre-season testing at the point of recording is next week. We've only got a few days to wait until that gets underway. Of course, we've got the first race coming in only a couple of weeks' time. I cannot wait. I hope you can't wait as well. And also, before I forget, we've got the pre-season predictions coming up, or the 2024 season predictions coming up. Now, I know a lot of you guys have been asking us, where are the forfeit videos? Where is Courtney and where is Luke with their forfeits? We have got them recorded. We've got them done. They're going to appear in the predictions episode. That is coming out, if you're listening to this on Friday morning, that is coming out next Friday. So on the final day of pre-season testing, we will be doing that episode. Of course, we would have recorded it before pre-season testing. So I'm going to get the disclaimer out there now. We do not know at the point of when that episode comes out, we do not know what the pecking order looks like. It could be in pre-season testing. So they will be blind predictions. So hopefully none of you guys will think that we're trying to cheat here, thinking, oh yeah, they're going to do well because they're quick in testing. We won't know. But we've got all that to look forward to. As I said, I'm waffling on at this point, but I hope that you've enjoyed this series, guys. We'll do it again next year. Why not? We'll get that in next year. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. But until then, before I carry on and talk for Britain, thanks very much for tuning in, guys. As always, please stay safe, and we will see you in the next episode of the DNF1 F1 podcast. And remember, as always, if you're not first, you're probably DNF1. Take care.
Podcast Network.